Darker Than Blue by Willis and Shantae of Positive Light Ministry. And a shout out to Willis and Shantae, who's played Kiara in Wendell, about a Vietnam veteran trying to adjust back to the community, will be performed at the second annual Stand Down for Homeless Veterans on Saturday, November 16, 2013, from 8 o'clock to 3 o'clock p.m. at the Vortex, located at 2341 Olympic Boulevard. We'll hear more about that event in the community calendar. Welcome to the Coon Round Report. May the peace and blessings of the life-giving creative spirit be upon you and upon your family. My name is Melvin Ishmael Johnson with my co-host Earlene Anthony, coming at you live from Skid Row Studios. Our call-in number is 800-893-9562. Listen to us live or download our show and any past show by Googling in skidrow.la and hit Coon Round Report. You can also watch us live by hitting live video. Now, this week on the Coon Round Report, we will hear some voices, some creative voices from the Skid Row community and the community at large. We're going to talk about the 3-on-3 street ball league. Also, from our voices from the Ether section, we have Tasha Asset here in the studio with us. You're going to love her. And also sitting in to talk about her weekly show is Linda Leakes. So welcome to the Coon Round Report. Let's start off with the 3-on-3 street ball league. I'm honored to have in the studio Charles Porter, Ron Crockett, and Manuel OG Man Compito. And we're going to talk about the league for a while. Let's start off there. First of all, can you give us a short history on the development of the 3-on-3 street ball league?
That would be a very difficult short. when it was 7 years. This is our seventh year, okay? And we've been through we've won so many awards. We've been recognized, you know, by the police department, you know, Downtown Distinction Awards we won. You know, we've been recognized by the Secret Millionaire, you know, the Bold and the Beautiful. And we've, you know, it's just been a long, long ride. So really, I'm here today to announce my retirement, you know, and Charles Wayne Porter, who's been with me for seven long years. He's taking over the helm of the ship. And so that's what I'm here today for, you know. So, you know, that's really what I'm excited about. But also, I'm going to have the opportunity to get more involved with the entrepreneur aspect of the league. We always said it was going to be a business. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to be here with the clothing line, you know, pushing the clothing line. And that's where I'll be at, because that's a key thing to try to provide jobs for people in Skid Row. And so it's not just making clothing, but also, you know, dealing with the telemarketing department, customer service department, and all the other sales department. And then hopefully round two, Boutique, which is located on 6th Street between Spring and Main. Ron, they're supposed to call in tonight, because now we have a high-end boutique carrying our clothing line downtown. Mm-hmm. Okay, so, you know, that's what I'm really here for. You know, I'm going to get a chance. I'm back in school. So, you know.
How's that going?
That's going great. You know, I'm going to get a degree in visual communication. I'm focused on animation. So Peace in the Hood is going to be coming out, you know. We'll be doing a lot of marketing. So, you know, even those that know about Peace in the Hood, the neo-novel coloring book, to Stop the Violence, those pages are going to come out on shirts. So we're going to tell the whole Peace in the Hood thing on T-shirts. Mm-hmm. So we're looking for a lot of stuff. Also, when we opened up long ago, most everybody know we got that money from the Secret Millionaire, John Ferber. Okay, so he has a site called Micro Giving. If you go to that site now, you'll see it, the clothing line is there. You can donate there. We're raising money there. I'm looking for that part. Charles been.
Well, let me ask you this. What do you have in the clothing line? What are some of the items in the clothing line?
Okay, well, we know we definitely got jerseys. So basically got a Skid Row 3-on-3 jersey, but we're coming out with all the different league jerseys. So that'd be 10 different jerseys, okay, 10 different colors. We're doing good on the women. You know, we finally got a women line coming out, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, ladies been on about that. Okay. Then we got the T-shirts, you know. I mean, you know, we got a variety types of T-shirts. You see me here today with one of the hoodies. You know, we got the hoodies coming out because winter's coming out. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and then we just experiment because we have people that's in a fashion. So it's not going to be just a one thing. It's an ongoing thing, you know. You know, we've been overseas in London, you know, Sweden, Japan. You know, we just got to playing China, you know what I'm saying? So, mm-hmm. you know, we hooked up with a little Tokyo. So we're looking for this to be a major business opportunity.
And then you were telling me about the league is getting ready to be transferred to another president.
Yeah, well, you know, he's been here. Charles, see, a lot of people don't know about Charles. Charles, you know, they'll say, OG doing this, he doing this. But I always go check with Charles before I do something really insane. You know,
I'm the shadow commissioner.
No more though.
And so, I was gonna say that, you know, just like OG said, that the league motto that is more than just a game. And so, for me, it's been about teaching, you know, principles of community and character development. You know, the words of the week and just having proverbs. And my whole thing is around culture and using culture as a tool to inspire people to be great, you know. And so that's pretty much been my role with the league, just to inspire people, you know, and to motivate them to be their best. And, you know, good cop, bad cop. Sometimes OG be like, well, you need to talk to Commissioner Porter about this. You know, when people start acting up, we'll send them to me. They don't show up half the time. But
oh, they're scared of him. Yeah. Like, you don't like nobody. Okay.
And I'm going to just talk to him, you know, like, why would you do that? You know, just a little discussion. But the other thing is I work for United Coalition East's drug prevention program. So we're right next door to Gladys Park. So whatever activities we can put in Gladys Park, we support. You know, because we want to, the more positive activities you have in there discourages all the drug activity. And so we've been focusing on just trying to fill the park with activities. And on Thursdays, we've been just opening the mic and taking our sound system out and just, you know, playing music, spreading messages and letting people know to respect the park, you know, because the park is for everybody, you know. And so if it's things you're doing in the park that you don't want kids to see, then you don't need to be doing that in the park.
Yeah. Well, wait till you hear Tasha, then. You'll be trying to get her down there then.
Oh, I'd love to.
Look, how about a young people's component? Is there a young people's component to the league? Or is the future one coming? Or are you thinking about that?
I know when they play on the weekends, it's always young people there, you know, and with our organization, we have a youth component. We're trying to do a better job of linking the youth with the activities in the community because we're actually working now to try to, we have like an after-school program. So like 4 to 6, you know, during the weekend, we're trying to figure out how we can get them more active in the park, you know, and connect with some of the neighborhood action that's going on. But on weekends, sometimes they do come through and we do events in the neighborhood, but you know, children have always been a part of the neighborhood. Even though people try to ignore them and exclude them, they there, and we always try to have some.
But the other thing on that, too, even from the beginning, you know, before the league, you know, one of the main emphasis of the park was the kids. You know, me and Charles, you could play, then I could play ball then. And he was leaping all over the place. So, you know, the kids was always the main focus. And right now, I don't think our intense, league's intense, because when we say the league, it includes the chess players, the domino players, everybody in the park. They say it's for everybody, you know. But you know, we still saddened by the fact you don't even see a slide at Gladys Park. You don't even see a sandbox at Gladys Park.
Wow.
And then you want to hear people rave about the little parklets up and down Spring Street. You know what I'm saying? While you continue to overlook the children, you know what I'm saying, and the things that, you know, providing the kind of amenities that any other park would have. You know, you want to go build a big old park up here, Grand Park. You know, you still overlook Gladys Park. You know, so you know, the league, as far as it's concerned, is still a community league. And although, you know, we do more than just play basketball, you know, we try to lobby for everything.
Okay. Look, let me ask you something that's kind of off the way. You know, one of our first supporters when we got Drama Stage started was Anita Nelson, SRO. What do you think of the chances of developing some kind of programs to train some managers and stuff for some of these little SROs to take over some kind of training programs to help create some jobs for them and also to train them to be more sensitive to the community members down there.
I think the with the nonprofits, the housing downtown, that's always a major issue, concern is the management of the buildings, particularly when you have a system in place where people, some of the missions do the same, where people go through the program and then they get hired on. And so that's the dilemma sometimes when people come from a particular situation, because then they're not open-minded, so they think they're expert on it, and they don't always treat people with compassion. But the main, I would say, issue in regards to that is always having feedback, you know, because there always has to be a channel to get feedback on how people feel they're being treated. And that's something we always advocate for. It should always be, you know, a drop box. You know, you should always be able to comment on the services you receive, you know, and because you have to treat people with respect and dignity, you know. And sometimes we do hear people complaining about their treatment, but there has to be an open dialogue, you know. Respect the fact that people are in recovery. Respect the fact that people are now gainfully employed. But you have to also be respectful to the people you work with. And going back to what I said earlier about cultural competency, a lot of times we don't really have a deep understanding of who we are as human beings or who we are as people of African descent. That's a whole nother piece, because me and OG used to joke about this sometimes when you talk about recovery. You're recovering back to what? So if you started out and, you know, incomplete, and then you had an addiction and then you got clean and sober, and now you're incomplete but you're clean and sober, you know, it's still development, you know. And, you know, that's another
topic. Yes, the next question I was going to ask you, you know, Skid Row is known as a recovery zone. How do the league fit into the concept of recovery?
Well, I would say I'm pretty consistent, because I'm the bad guy, so I always come out there. And I tell them about the park rules. A lot of times people don't really, you know, follow, because the park has a culture of its own. But that's my role, is to say, okay, I'm going to just remind y'all, it's a sign right here. Say no A, B, C, and D. We expect no A, B, C, and D, you know. And so when I'm there, you know, I get on the mic, I play around. Sometimes you might see, you know, 2-3 people going in a porta potty. And I get on the mic and say, why are 2 or 3 people going in a porta potty? People will turn and look like, yeah, why? You know, so it's an ongoing thing, because when you have a open space, when you have, and then that's the other importance of the park, is there's few communal spaces where people can come together. You have a lot of people in the SROs and the programs, and they are, you know, they are close. They don't have space. And so people, when they're in the park, it's like a sanctuary. You're out, you should be able to relax and not worry about, you know, people invading your space. And so that's why it's important for people to be respectful of other people's space. And that's what we try to do, you know, when we're out there and we spread that message of community. Stop being so selfish, because a lot of these issues are around selfish, you know, the foundation is selfishness.
The other thing about recovery, you know, if you look at, if you go to our website, you know, we promote, you know, a gang intervention recovery. But recovery happens in a lot of different ways. This is why we stress a lot of times that we need other activities in the park at night. Because one of the things that we found out, if there's no positive activities, you know, at night, you know, crime going to go up. What else are you going to do? You're walking down the street, ain't nothing to do at night. What you going to do? So you got to provide, use the park for a lot of other activities, and so like showing movies in the park, you know, especially educational movies would be a good thing for our neighborhood, you know. Basketball is a form of recovery, you know what I mean? You can't really be really good at basketball and smoke crack the day before. You know, you ain't going to be too effective on the court, okay? And we've seen that happen quite a few times, okay? So recovery comes in all kind of ways, even the Skid Row Artists Collective. As you know, a lot of our members, you know, they're rappers, they're poets, you know, all type of artists. So, you know, recovery comes in a lot of forms. Just not through just abstaining. Like you say, you was toe up before you got on drugs. Now you're going back to that again. So you still, your character. You know, that's one thing about, you know, we stress, you know, especially after 7 years, we're sticking with the life skills of the league, you know, developing character. Mm-hmm. You know, something that you could take from the court and take home. Mm-hmm. Like we always tell them, there's no way, you know, that you're going to be late for a game, and then when it comes time to go to work, going to be on time. Mm-hmm. That's why puncture was one of the words of the week.
Let me ask you this, because I know you're in school now. Is there any methodology for transitioning a lot of the players or the community members to get them back in school, community college, to work on the program?
I think one of the things that led me up to my retirement at this point is because a lot of the players are not around. Like everybody, where are all these players at? They're in school. The league has a lot of players in school. I go to Trade Tech. That's a lot of my players up there, okay? And they're working. They're working at Chrysler. You know, a lot of places, you know what I'm saying? My players are working. Now, some of them are on some other places, but when I look at you're talking over 500 people, you know, and every day I get somebody, it's no joke, you know, during the week, somebody's always stopping me talking about, man, we seen you on TV and getting all that money. And it was a lot of us in jail watching them. So they see that, you know, what we do, we've been consistent in what we're doing, you know what I mean? And we constantly told them it was more than just a game. You know, I got miles of feet, so I ain't got time for basketball. So if it's not going to be productive, you know, it's like right now, we're probably the only league in the country that play without referees. Mm-hmm. You respect the call, because when you on your job, there ain't no parole agent there. When you arguing with your wife, there ain't no referee there. So you got to learn how to deal with situations, and that's what the league is teaching. It ain't about teaching you no basketball, but we have played China, Japan. Mm-hmm. You know, Venice Beach come down and play, you know. Gladys Parker is going to be like Rucker Parker. We're going to have people coming from all over the world playing at Gladys Park.
Okay. Look, let's move on. I want to come back in a little while because I want to talk about some of the future plans, some of the plans that you have for the 3-on-3 basketball league in terms of taking it into the future. But let's talk about our other in-studio guest. Let's move over to Linda Lee. She is the radio host of her own show, Variety Talk, every Saturday at 2 to 3 p.m. at radio station KTST FM. Linda, welcome to the Coon Ryan Report.
So happy to be here. Oh, look at this radio talk show announcer does not know how to even speak into the mic. All right, let's speak to this. Thank you. I am happy to be here, Melvin. And you have invited me a while ago, so it's good to finally skid on down into the Skid Row Studios. And I mean, I literally skidded in here. So thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Look, before we talk about the show, can you tell us a little about yourself and how did you get off into broadcast?
As you know, because you're doing this, it's definitely a passion. I actually began my career in high school. My freshman year, I ran a television studio. So, it was just, and my teacher just picked me out and gave me a Ford Foundation scholarship, and I ran the entire studio. So it's always been a love in my heart and soul, and I just kind of took it all the way up through, my career.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And also, you know, wanting to have a purpose. And as long as I had a voice, meaning, you know, being able to reach so many people, why not have a purpose behind that?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-oh, I'm hearing birds. Are we out at the
an
beach?
Ocean? Yeah.
We're traveling.
One. You see, I'm trying to ignore that.
I meditate.
That's a bird in my bag.
That's okay. You know what? It's perfect because that's, you know.
Tranquility.
Tranquility and... Okay, you know, that's like a perfect segue. God gave us those birds.
All right.
Because, honest to God, this is what happened to me. I was walking through these gardens where I go to pray, and God just like struck me down like Saul off the horse. No kidding.
With a bird?
Close. We're almost there. And so he just told me right then and there, Linda, you know, this is how you need to use this voice, okay? And so he told me that I need to get out there and help uplift the consciousness of America, but particularly African Americans in terms of spirituality.
Okay, let me ask you this. Okay, what is your show about? Can you tell us what your show is?
The show is about, it's actually twofold. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I want to throw this in here because this is the punchline real quick.
Okay.
The birds, when I was leaving the prayer place, mm-hmm. there were like 30 white birds that went flying up and circled around my car and flew away. So that was my sign that I was doing the right thing. All right. So there, see, so that was pretty deep how the birds came in here. But anyway, okay, so going back to that, what's my show about? My intention is to help all business owners, small businesses in particular, you know, just kind of lift up out of this little difficulty, financial difficulty that we are all in. And give them an opportunity to advertise by way of coming on my show and getting 15 minutes to talk about what they do.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, how did you get? How did you first get your show started? Can you talk about that? Oh, first, the name of it again is.
The name of my show is entitled Variety Talk.
Okay, and how did you first get it started?
Well, actually, back in, I don't want to date myself, but I was back in the 90s. I actually was a DJ for this particular station, and I've always worked corporate, Hallmark cards, and blah 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 my whole life. And I got kind of just tired of it, and my passion started rising again. And so I said, okay, well, let me find a studio that will allow me to direct or produce commercials. And that's how I ended up back at KTST-FM. I needed a platform. I needed somewhere to begin. So I thought, well, let me start there, and then I can start with radio and then go into television.
Okay. Now, what do you think about the future of internet radio?
Oh, man, I'm glad you asked that question. That is so awesome. My heart is beating fast. I mean, literally, because this is so exciting, this time that we're in right now. I just finished with statistics because we are also taking advantage of that niche with internet, television, and radio. And did you know that 66% of the population actually will watch their computer as opposed to their televisions now? So they'll watch their computers, their iPads, their iPods, their everything. And so it's pretty incredible to know that there's a niche, 66%. Mm-hmm. So that's what I think about internet. This is the wave of the future. It's cutting edge. I mean, look at this studio. You guys have got this together. So congratulations, by the way. Hey, let's give him a hand. It's awesome.
Yeah, Jeremy and Joel mm-hmm. that put this together.
Kudos, because it is extremely impressive. Yes. And so if we're at 66% now in terms of the viewers, imagine where we'd be in just a few years.
Yes. And I know one thing, we also got in the house Bobby Buck, and one thing that he tried to do that I think is nice is the whole concept of networking, you know, giving different groups and to approach the business from that point of view.
And who's that? Is that our gentleman walking over there? All
Bobby,
right.
Bobby Buck,
okay, Bobby, we need to talk after the show.
He can take my mic right now. Come on, Bobby. Get on the mic. Here.
You're the one that gave me the card,
yeah,
right?
Get on the mic.
Hello. How y'all doing?
Hey, Bobby.
All right. We, you know, great minds run great ways, you know?
Oh, yeah. I've listened to you. I said, I'm trying to bite my tongue.
Tell us a little about your network.
Okay. Well, what I'm setting up, I got a barter and trade advertisement network, and I want to use entertainment to bring our people to see entrepreneurship and self-employment, along with the positive actions that's going on in Skid Row and other communities in L.A. So
awesome.
And they can get paid referral fees. So
awesome. So you are invited right now on my show, in addition to these two right here, our hosts, because really you've got a lot to talk about.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, it's a big thing. And as long as we're, you know, you can't shut me up. I'm a radio talk show host. So let me do this. As long as you're jumping in, I also want to just give kudos out to Anthony, who co-hosts with me also on my show, KTST 89.5. So thanks, Anthony, for coming out.
Hey, Anthony, won't you holler? Let us hear your voice. You can co-host for a minute. Let's say something to us over here.
Yeah. Hello.
tell us how you got involved with co-hosting with Linda.
Well, I got involved with her just by being a part of that station. I worked at that station for probably about a year myself. My dream is actually the same as her dream in terms of being involved in radio. So I had done that for a while, and it was an opportunity for us to get together and coordinate and do something that would be beneficial for both of us.
Mm-hmm. Great.
Tell
boy.
The truth, you saved my behind is what he did. That's why I brought him down here. I owe him a big favor because I had to go to Chicago for 6 months and I needed somebody to take the helm over and he jumped right in for me. So I appreciated Anthony so much.
Mm-hmm. Are you a Chicago native?
Oh, Chi-Town girl.
Me.
You
me too. Yes.
I you look for me. I told you.
Chicago. We can identify one another.
Me too. South side of Chicago.
Look,
I feel at home.
let's take a break for our community calendar, and then we'll come back with Tasha, okay. And also we're going to do some roundtable discussion.
All right.
Okay.
This is the community calendar for the month of October. Tomorrow, Tuesday, October the 22nd, starting at 2 p.m., is National Day of Protest. Protest to stop mass incarceration and police brutality. You're asked to meet at the corner of Slauson and Crenshaw and to wear black and hoodied up. And once again, that's tomorrow, Tuesday, October the 22nd, starting at 2 p.m., National Day of Protest. LAPD and the National Center for Contemporary Theater is co-producing A Micro History of the World Economic Dance, written and directed by Pasquale Rampart. And he is the 2012 winner of the Best New Play Award from the French Critics Association. The performance will be over 2 days, Saturday, October the 26th, Sunday, October 27th, at Pershing Square. And this is located near 5th and Hill. The performance will start at 3 p.m. and 7 p.m. And for more information on this event, please contact Austin at 310-923-5819. Tuesday, October the 29th, Drama Stage Qumran Veterans Community Theater Workshop presents the Nasana Play Reading Series. We will have scenes from Surviving the Nickel and Nail Heads, written and directed by Melvin Ishmael Johnson. Also, for those lovers of open mic, we will have open mic. 7 p.m., it'll be meet, greet, and the mixer. 8 p.m., the performance. And we will have a special guest, spoken word artist and singer, Tasha Ossett. This is a free event and free parking. The location is at the Vortex, 2341 East Olympic Boulevard. This is at the corner of Santa Fe and Olympic. And the Metro bus number 60 and 66 stops right at or near the corner. And for more information, you can contact dramastage1@yahoo.com or 213-479-1764. Upcoming guests on the Qumran Report Monday, October the 28th, will be Pastor Frank Wolf and Reverend Catherine Schofield. And we're asking you to save these dates. Saturday, November the 16th, from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m., the second annual Downtown Los Angeles Stand Down for Homeless Veterans. And the location is also at the Vortex, 2341 East Olympic Boulevard. And if you or your organization would like to participate, please contact Judith Bowman at nomoretimetowrite@gmail.com or 626-703-1230. And we will be announcing more information about this event on upcoming programs. Also, Saturday, November the 16th, this is at 8 p.m., Public Work Improvisational Theater present Mitch Greenhill and Jack Landrome. They will be in concert at the Art Share, and that's at 801 East 4th Place, Los Angeles. This is in the Arts District in Tokyo, and free parking is available. And for ticket and more information, contact Lee Beck at publicworkimprov.com or 323-330-5448. If you have a community event that you would like announced on our show, send the information to Drama Stage 1, at yahoo.com. Attention, Earlene Anthony. And the call-in number for the show is 800-893-9562. Now, back to our host.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Earlene Anthony. Okay, now I want to move to our other in-studio guest. We're going to, Tasha Assad, we're going to play a song called Zombie Killers and then come back and talk about it.
Okay. Zombie Killers.
I walk amongst the land of the walking dead. The ones that only seek knowledge, westernized civilization, school-fed, man, they eyes are gazed over, infected with a virus. I see deep into your soul, into the abyss of your pupils and iris. Controlled by chemtrail gases, walking in masses, ready to see who wants to bite me the fastest. I recognize everyone because I used to be one until I reverse my curse and now I'll slay anyone who runs up on me, plotting on my demise. They lack knowing thyself. The dead has arisen. Can't understand, we're being misled, hanging on to every word that the government said. Man, call me zombie killer, the knowledge dealer. One dose of information can shock the body and be lethal like salmonella, taking off heads of the walking dead. But sometimes I get scared and have to pace my heartbeat real slow to the melodic rhythm of the mighty Congo, man, female gorilla. Don't make me kill you. Attack you with love and knowledge to heal you. My antidote, a famous quote. I could have freed them all had they known that they were slaves. Red bone exterior, Harriet Tubman interior. We was taught over generations that we was inferior, but our bloodline read truth and DNA says superior. Zombie killer, dressed in all black. It's not two texts in my backpack, it's two books and a map so I could navigate home like a Dogon. You see, once you study the tribe and turn the word around, it says, no God. But please, don't misconstrue my light skin. If you scratch the surface, you will find a Zulu within. I wear my hair in 9 ether and I'm not afraid either. I went from a grand diva to a supreme team believer. I'm like an Indian Aztec warrior. My bones ache in a storm. Although zombie killer, my heart remains warm.
Okay, Tasha.
Thank you.
Awesome. Welcome to the show. Thanks. Welcome to the Qumran Report. Hey, what are your roots? Let's talk about that for a minute.
Well, I came from a Christian background upbringing, a native Chicagoan.
Mm-hmm.
Hey. And also from a single parent household. And I've been, ever since I've reached this age, 40 years old, I lost my religion and found my spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, my African spirituality.
Can you talk about that a little? You, would you come up in the Baptist church or something like that? Or what?
Yeah, I was a Baptist. I love church. My grandmother sent me to church every Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Worshiped and everything. You know, I studied my Bible. I was with study groups. I also had started a ministry group on Facebook,
mm-hmm.
and it's called Faithful Fellowship. It's one of the largest internet ministries on Facebook. And actually, I was challenged by a conscious community group about my religion at that time. And this was about 2 years ago. And it made me study. And as I, you know, I prayed on that, I was like, God, you know, I'm going, entering into another zone. Because, you know, coming up as a Christian, we are told to keep your eye on the word, mm-hmm. you know. But sometimes there are things hidden from us and we can't, you know, stop learning. We just can't put a cap on things.
Mm-hmm.
So I started on this journey. And I was like, just pulled in. I started reading about my African history and I found some things that just really amazed me. I started reading upon comedic science, the story of Heru, Sar, and Aset.
Mm-hmm.
And it just opened up something in my DNA, and I was like, wow.
Well, let me ask you this. You know, Chicago, you know, I got a connection there, mm-hmm. because originally my roots is in Greenville, Mississippi.
All right.
Chicago is known as Big Mississippi.
Yes.
Because
yes, everybody is.
So many African Americans yes. from there. Yes. What do you think about what's happening in the community in Chicago? You know, Chicago is known as like the murder capital now, you know, with all the killing among our young people. What's happening there?
What they call it, Chirac.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's about control. You know, Chicago is have a large conscious community. There's a lot of pan-Africanism going on out there. And I think that a lot of the youth are being targeted. I personally think it's a lot of police corruption.
Okay. Well,
things
let me
are
ask
being
you.
Started out there to make it look like we're destroying one another, but I think mm-hmm. it's a lot of police work.
Happening there?
Yeah, corruption.
Well, you know, Chicago having a history, like when you look at all these conscious organizations mm-hmm. and people that come out of Chicago, mm-hmm. including the top person, the President of the United States.
Yes.
And then you got the Nation of Islam,
yes.
people like Jesse Jackson. You just go down the list. What's happening with that back? What do you think happening back there with Chicago? I'm mm-hmm. we're going to open up the discussion
yeah,
in a minute
fine.
With that. But why do you think it's happening? And when you think about some of the people that's come through there, Fred Hampton mm-hmm. and going all the way back to Harold Washington. It used to be a real conscious
place. Well, just
place.
Look at all of the greatness, the great people you just named.
Mm-hmm.
Why wouldn't you target Chicago? Actually, is something spiritual going on there. There's mm-hmm. a lot of powerful people that's coming up in that place, and it's something in the spiritual realm that a lot of people can't see, but a lot of the government and politics they know about.
Do you see something like what happened with Detroit? Detroit is a toe-up city now. It used to have over 2 million people.
Oh, yeah.
Right now, probably about 700,000. Yeah, but we get a mm-hmm. chance to get to. Look, one more question. Who are some of your inspirations that inspired you as an artist?
Oh, Nikki Giovanni, most definitely. Mm-hmm. Gil Scott-Heron,
mm-hmm.
Maya Angelou. I was just intrigued by their messages and their poems, and you know, I was like, wow, I want to do this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm a nurse by trade, and I walked away from nursing for a while just to pursue this.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been doing it for a year, and it's just, I've been, you know, at a lot of venues now, picking up, being requested
mm-hmm.
to do a lot of dinner parties as well as large events all over the place.
So
it's great.
You're going to do something live for us,
yes,
too, right?
Of course.
Okay, are you ready to do something live for us?
Oh, yes,
now?
I am.
Okay,
yeah.
What are you going to do for us?
You know what? I'm going to do this piece called Sweet Home Chicago for my Chicago people in the house right now.
Right.
And here you go. Sweet Home Chicago, don't die tonight. Back in the day, everything was all right.
Mm.
Chilling at the lakefront, 31st Street, when we was booming, we was booming, we was booming in the Jeep.
Mm.
Garrett's Popcorn, Italian Fiesta, Chi-Town, downtown, it can't get no better. Memories of sweet iced tea from Mason Jaws when little kids yelled out, no cobs, and that's my car. Times have changed. Things gotten ugly. I can't go back dressed up all fly because somebody might try to mug me. Come on. Y'all know how them thugs be before they found their inner God. But yet some of the hardest gangsters on the block fear the almighty God. My sweet home Chicago, what's going on? I turned to the news the other day and it said another one was gone. Murder increasing. They acting like it's 1986, the movie Colors. The only difference is it's brother versus brother. Now, could this be the media pumping it up because it's election time? The boys that graduated from urban preparatory school are doing just fine. These scales are unbalanced. It boggles my mind. Last stop all off 95th Dan Ron. Guys flashy selling dope like it's the latest fashion, while young girls trying to get rich popping their skins for a transaction. Shots ring out like, oh, say, can you see? But no, you can't. When you laid up in a coffin, surrounded by 6 to 8 men, that's how it is very often. I often drift into my own soliloquy of fake spear to be or not to be, that is the question. I'm all grown up now. Rest in peace to my grandmother, Ruby Hudson. She won't be stressing. Sweet home Chicago, don't die tonight. My mafioso city blueprinted just right. Could this be the mafia plan? Taking a political stand? Because this reminds me of the of Africa covering the Chicago land. Blood splatter from brain matter influenced politicians over spaghetti dinners with linen tablecloths all white. A hot topic for fine dining at night. Rest in peace to Mayor Harold Washington, who's pulled away from the light. Can these shooters read or write? Are they skinny jeans too tight? Because they didn't see that little girl who was riding her bike that night. So, sweet home Chicago, please don't die tonight. I'm so sick of my people talking about unity is dead when we should unite like Voltron, or shall I say Allah? Arm, leg, leg, arm, and head. Sometimes we need to step back from the rack city chick hood rats and get back to being black, learning facts, and straight up knowing how to act. Nevertheless, each time I roam, Chicago is calling me home, sweet home Chicago. Please don't die tonight. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Let's hear about 2 minutes of this piece called "Daddy Sleeps," and we'll talk about it in a minute, and then I'm gonna get back over into 3-on-3 basketball league.
Cool.
He works hard for the rent in the middle of the night. While we're fast asleep, he's getting his money right. He's my man, he's my king. Got to keep the baby quiet. He works hard, he works slow. He's so good, I can't deny it. Daddy sleeps.
Daddy sleeps after coming home from an odd-hour job. Often feeling robbed of the sunshine beaming on his face. After the overcast dissipates at 5 a.m. He works hard just to stay alive and often strive for that yearly family vacation. He reads to escape from that job plantation. This man works hard and always part preacher, teacher, and mentor. What an odd score for a god on light cold lockdown. Now, he don't work hard because he wants to, but allowing his family to go without is something that he won't do. He probably works harder than most of y'all while they cut his check and say universal health care for us all. A black man with his back against the wall? Hell no. I say liberation for us all. What's a stepping stone but only a downfall? Watch out for smoke and mirrors, cause they done fooled us all. Now, I must remain quiet while Daddy sleeps. When he comes home, I'll remove the shoes from his feet, and even if they stink, I won't flip.
Okay, Daddy sleeps. First of all, let me do a shout out to Tyrone Robinson. He was supposed to be here tonight doing Voices from the Ether. He's the one that brought Tasha here. Yeah. What's the story behind that song, Daddy?
Well, it's about, just black men just still working. Sometimes we don't give our men enough credit. You know, back in the 70s and early 80s, we lost a lot of the black men in the families to drugs or, you know, just doing what they do, leaving out the homes. But it's a great turnaround and comeback for these brothers that stand in the house, going to work, taking care of their families, you know, even raising the kids all by themselves, you know. So I just felt inspired to do that piece. And you know, I just feel we need that. You know, we just need, the sisters need to love the brothers, you know, hold the king up, you know, give him a little something. So that's just a reminder for us to keep us going, keep our vibrations high.
Tasha, we're going to come back. We're going to come back and do another piece.
All right.
Okay, I want to move back over to Charles, the new president over here is taking over.
Commissioner.
So I hope somewhere down the line they have some kind of salary and expensive calendar.
Right. I know, commissioner is a big title. I think I'm going to give myself a raise.
What are some of the future plans for the league looking down the road?
One thing I was about to say, that the league has pretty much... OG was talking earlier about playing without the referees. You know, it's like the league has a life of its own, you know, and I've been pretty hands off because I stay busy and, you know, I do what I can. But, you know, players, they show up, they play, they know how to set the game up, they know how to keep it going. And whenever we do special activities, you know, it's good. But they pretty much network and do their own thing, you know. And so my role is just to support them in whatever way I can. And, you know, just keep making sure that it's messages and it's more than just playing basketball, that they represent the neighborhood, but also that they showing that the Skid Row have many faces and that, you know, it's more than just people coming together to have fun. You know, it's, there's a lot of issues need to be addressed in the community. And we're trying to teach, you know, character development, responsibility, and just raise awareness, you know. So that's what I bring to the table, you know. And then like I said, just to keep positive energy in that park and keep activities going so that we you know, that people can feel safe when they come there, and that the people that are there, we can improve the health and wellness of the neighborhood and community.
Well, let me ask you this, how about veterans, homeless veterans and veterans, is they involve in the league, any veterans?
Or well, it's a lot of veterans in Skid Row, so, you know, it's hard to tell. Actually, when Michael Blaze has a veterans in photography, and some people that that come to that group, I didn't know they were veterans. You know, I see them all the time. I didn't know. I thought they were lying because they wanted a free camera. You're not a veteran. Yeah. But, no, it's a lot of people that come through and support, you know. But Skid Row's like that. Anything you're doing, people will come through and show love and give their support. So, you know, that's the other thing about it. You don't have to do the work by yourself, you know. Once you set it up, and like I said, it takes on a life of its own, you know. So we just try to keep it moving and just try to, you know, link everybody, you know. I wanted to say something real quick about SRO, too, that we work closely with SRO. We actually started USEP. We started doing outreach also in San Julian Park. So that's a whole another park, and we're trying to connect with that park as well. So we go out there on Mondays, and we had to support SRO because SRO still manages San Julian Park. And we go in the park and do the same thing, just try to spread love and then connect people with activities, make announcements like you know, community bulletin board and acknowledge birthdays, things like that to help to build a sense of community. So people, you know, realize if you're here, you're part of this. You know?
Well, one of the things that we want to start, I know Earlene was talking about it, we want to start announcing your Thursday meetings on a regular basis on the community calendar. On our Monday show, so people know what's coming up on the Thursday. Also, we would love to set up a booth at the stand down coming up on the, because I know Ron will be over there setting up during the haircut.
Yes, I will.
Yeah, and we love to set up a booth over there for the 3-on-3 to interact with the veterans and the other people that will be coming out on that day. Also, look, let's go around. We're winding down. Let's go around for some closing comments. Let's start off with Ron. He haven't said anything yet. Ron.
Quickly, I'm here. The one and only is in the house, a.k.a. Skid Row Chick Hearns. I'm liking everything, what we're doing, the way the league is progressing. Just a reminder, Charles, we got that 3-on-3 banquet, the year-end banquet. So it's a shout-out to everybody's in the house, everybody out there on the airwaves, if you'd like to support. Get in contact with Drama Stage Qumran, you know, so you guys can participate in the 3-on-3 Street Ball Basketball League banquet.
Well, I know this Thursday, they're doing a dog pet show down here. Mm-hmm. And then I think on the 26th at Gladys Park.
Saturday, 1 o'clock.
We're doing some work with Cornerstone Theaters. You know, they done wrote a play, Love, mm-hmm. on San Pedro. Mm-hmm. I think it's about Charles and his love affair. And so we're going to be working with them, have some booths down there. And then I know on November the 6th, I believe, the 7th, they're going to be at L.A. Mission doing the play. So there's a lot of Skidronians that's in the play, too, you know what I mean? I ain't no star in that. So anyway, yeah. So we, you know, that's a great thing. It's still promoting Skid Row. You know, we're keeping it out there. There's a lot of positive stuff going on Skid Row. And I had to agree with the lady who said from Chicago. Mm-hmm. Listen, because we deal with that down on Skid Row about law enforcement and the government. You know, either they're not looking at something that's going wrong, or they involved in something that's going wrong. I just have to say that though.
And I wanted to say, tying into also the spirit of what, you know, what I envision for the park is that accountability. You know, that's the other thing that people should be more afraid of their brothers and sisters than they are of the police, you know, when it comes to doing things that's not right. You know, and that's part of, you know, what we try to do around accountability. You know, it's like our community will defend people that do dirt and be like, oh, you can't snitch, you can't snitch. But what about people that are traitors to our nation, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's the thing. It's like, okay, that might be a snitch, but you a traitor. Look what you doing, you know? And we got to change that because we co-sign a lot of self-destructive things. And, you know, we the time is now for us to, mm-hmm. you know, speak out on that. So that's another thing we try to do with changing the culture, you know, that's taking place in the neighborhood.
Yeah, okay. Definitely. I have a CD coming out called Ascension of a Goddess. The official CD will be released November 9th, and I'm having a CD release party, and you all are all invited. It's going to be at Fatima's Runway Boutique on 8th and La Brea, and I'll give you more information. They can contact the studio if they want to come. Also, you can go to my website, www.tashaalsett.com, and keep up with what I'm doing, because sometimes I can't. I will be featured at Art Is My Drug in Torrance on the 26th, and you can look me up, Tasha Alsett, on Facebook. And this is what I'm doing is for the youths. What I'm learning, especially about my African spirituality, that is my gift to the children when I leave. So I would like to leave that with them. So please support.
Okay. And Tasha will be at the Vortex a week from tomorrow.
Yes, yes.
Absolutely great. I would love to be there as well.
Yes, thank you very much. You.
It's been a very enlightening experience to be here, mm-hmm. to meet so many fabulous and wonderful people. And I didn't know this existed down here, but I'll definitely take note, and I hope to come back sometime soon. And I'm also thankful for Linda Leek for inviting me down here as well.
All right.
All right.
I see the number 3 over there. Oh, okay, better hurry up. All right, just wanted to thank you, Melvin, and Earlene. For having me down here. Thank you so much. I cordially invite you to my show on Variety Talk, and everybody else too, 89. KTST FM, log on every Saturday at 2 p.m. Thank you so much.
Earlene.
I just want to thank all of our guests, and I'm putting you all on the spot. We want to see you at the Stand Down at the Vortex on November the 16th.
Mm-hmm. Glory, got my
calendar. And
OG is going to come out and do some of his clothes modeling, Skid Row clothesline,
right,
at our event on the 29th.
Okay.
And we want all of you to come also.
Okay, Bobby, you want to?
Yeah, I could say we the people make the change. Join BobbyBuck.com.
Mm-hmm. And then also we will have some cast from the Cornerstone
Theater.
A program coming up.
They're going to come and be on the show on the 11th.
Okay. Is it the 11th or the 4th?
I'm sorry, the 4th.
Yeah, they'll mm-hmm. be here on the 4th in the studio. And then also, I'd like to extend a special thanks to my guests, all of my guests. We've had an excellent show in here. And please, thank you for tuning in to the Qumran Report. Please check out our show The Coonrod Report's on iTunes, Facebook, Stitcher, and SkidRow.LA. Thank you for tuning in to the Coonrod Report. And from your host, Melvin Ishmael Johnson, may the peace and blessings of the life-giving creative spirit be upon you and upon your family. And we would like to close out with Tasha's song. And the name of this song is What Happened to You, Girl?
Yeah.
What Happened
Girl, what
to, you?
To You?
Girl, what this is?
Girl, what happened
okay.
to you?
Well, let's play Darker Than Blue. Closing out with that. She,
that must be
good. Yeah. Are we going? And that would be a sin come true. Get off of me. Get up if you want to understand me. Get up if you really want to help me. Get up, but in Jesus' name, I'm gonna get up if you get off of me. Get up if you want to understand me. Get up if you really wanna help me. I'll get up, but in Jesus' name, I'm gonna get up. Maybe people who are darker than you, are we gonna hang around this town? And then whatever we say comes true. Good for nothing, they all figure. Just a boyish grown, a shiftless jigger.